We're going to talk about five keys or keys to a victorious marriage, and there are five of them. And we're just going to start tonight over here in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read you a few scriptures that'll just be a foundation for this, and we'll get right into it. First scripture is this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, God, for doing that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57. And then over here, for you Donald Trump fans, we'll call it 2 Corinthians 2:14. Ted Cruz would say 2 Corinthians 2:14. We have no political affiliation, so anyway. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Another great verse. And let's look at one more before we get right into this. Over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. So, I just believe as I was studying and reading that the Lord's given me five keys. They're probably not the only keys, but there are five keys that will help you maintain a victorious marriage. Amen. So the first key right here is victory through more prayer. Let me just make this statement about all of these keys tonight. None of the things that I'm going to tell you tonight are things that you need to do in order for God to love you more, to put you any higher on the totem pole. None of those things. God already loves you with an everlasting love. He's already got a great plan, and we just saw three scriptures that brought that out perfectly. He wants us to triumph. He wants us to be in the top notch all the time. Amen. So we're not. None of these things are things that you have to do to earn anything else with God, to merit any additional favor with God. These are things that you can do that will help you understand Him better. These are things that will help you gain a better scriptural understanding of God, not the other way around. So this isn't just Tony piling a bunch more works on you. No. Prayer benefits you. Amen. Amen. So first key, victory through more prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You know, many Christians lack victory in their lives, individual lives, and marriages because they simply neglect to pray. They just neglect to pray. Is it something I have to do? No, it's something you get to do. It's something you need to do for your sake, not God's. He already knows it all. We're the ones that don't know it all. We need prayer. We need prayer in our lives. Our marriages need prayer. You know, right now, as great as your marriage needs prayer. You need prayer. And it is easy to not pray. All you have to do is do nothing to not pray. It takes some effort. Some in this room tonight, you will pray about maybe the big things, or sometimes we call them the heavy things. If something heavy comes up, we'll pray. But you know, the Bible does say in Song of Solomon 2:15 that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. And we have to be alert to that. It is the little things that'll get you if you're not careful. It's usually not the big deal. It's the bunch of little deals because they add up. Amen. Pray for your spouse on a regular basis. That's the right thing to do, you know. You know that you will know better than anybody what your spouse's needs are, what they're going through, their fears, their struggles, their griefs, their pressures. You're going to know what your spouse needs more than anybody else on the planet. If we are to be more victorious in our marriages, we must pray about things, small and great, not just the great things and not just the small things. We've got to continue always in prayer. The scripture admonishes us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says it like this, pray without ceasing. Wow. Here's what Kenneth Copeland says. He says, I rarely pray more than 15 minutes, but I rarely go 15 minutes without praying. Here's what Pastor Bob says. You'll see more if you pray more. Simple, simple, simple. You know, the bottom line is prayer is a lifestyle. It is not an event. Now, you can come to prayer. You can come to Monday night prayer. And that can be one of the times that you pray. But prayer is meant to be a lifestyle, not an event. Pray like you want something to happen. Pray all the time. Pray like you believe what you're praying. Pray the word. Pray out loud. You hear me? Pray out loud. When you pray out loud, you hear it, the devil hears it, God hears it, and everybody around you hears it. Just pray out loud. Pray like you believe it. Pray in your house. Pray in your car, your truck, your boat, your RV, in the driveway, on the highway, on the parkway, in the tollway. Pray in the rain, and on a train, and in a box with a fox. Pray here or there. Pray anywhere. Would you pray in a house? Would you pray with a mouse? Would you pray with a goat or in a boat? But you say, I could not, would not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not pray in the rain or on a train. Not in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I won't pray in a box or with a fox or in a house with a mouse. I won't do it here or there. I won't do it anywhere. I do have 7 children, so bear with me. Pray prayers that are in line with the Word of God, not just fancy, emotional prayers that, I mean, honestly, don't make any difference. You know I'm telling you the truth. They just don't make any difference. Prayer is about honest communication with God. It's honest communication. It's talking and it's listening. It's important to note that the goal of prayer is not to talk God into doing something that he doesn't want to do. You hear what I said? You're not trying to talk him into something. But rather it's to align yourself with the will, plan, and purpose of God that he has for you and your spouse. It's for you to come into alignment. You know what it's like to go down and have an alignment job done on your vehicle. That's when it gets out of whack and you got to get it back in alignment. Prayer does that. It gets you back in alignment. And you need to be aligned once in a while. Amen. All right, that's the first key. Second key is this. Victory through more promises. This is an interesting category. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Hallelujah. You want to know one way that you can really bring glory to God? You can simply walk out and fulfill the promises that God has already given you, because he's given you a bunch of them. And it brings him pleasure when he sees you walking in it. Amen. He takes pleasure in that, in seeing you. God takes great pleasure in seeing you respond to and receive what he's already provided for you. Amen. The promises of God are for you. They're for you. He made them and spoke them for you. Not for him, for you. He's got it going on. He doesn't need it. It's you that needs it. So some Christians falter when it comes to reading and remembering and relying on God's promises. They unsuccessfully depend on their own strength to get things done. And I think that's sad. Here we are in a situation where we have so much going for us and God's provided so much for us, and people still want to do it their way and in their own strength and power. We need to learn God's promises. We need to cooperate with God's promises, and we need to walk in God's promises. If we're going to be victorious in our marriages, and that's what this is about, these are keys to a victorious message. If we're going to be victorious in our message, we must trust God and depend on His promises. The Scripture says in 1 Kings 8:56, according to all that He promised, there has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. Not one. Not one. In other words, He gets it right every time, all the time, without fail, every time. You can rely on God to come through for you and your spouse. I'm just telling you right now, you can rely on Him. He's been in the marriage and promise business much longer than your flaky friends. See, He will actually do what He said He will do. He will fulfill what He said He will fulfill. Can't deny it. So, Tony, what are those marriage promises? What are they, Tony? What are they? Well, there are many, many promises, but I'm going to kickstart you with five of them right now. You ready? This is the kickstart. This isn't all of them. This is five. Number one, kickstart promises. Number one, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. This is important. This is important in the life of marriages because marriage is a unification of imperfect people. Marriage is the unification of imperfect people. I know that's going to burst some of your bubbles. You thought you had it, but no one is perfect in marriage. There will be times that a husband or wife may fail each other, mess up, or just plain do something stupid. It's important to remember God's definition of love and know that loving each other deeply can cover those things. The second thing is, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. You remember we were in here and had the rope and I showed you that and we talked about the three cords? Three cords represent a husband, a wife, and God. These three together form a close relationship that is not easily broken. That's a promise. That's a promise. Now, you take the God factor out of it, and what you got? You don't have it. So it's a promise with three, not so much a promise with two. The third point is to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:2-3. If a husband and wife are humble and patient, gentle and selfless in a relationship, this will cause less confrontation and arguments. Amen. Number four, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. These words, the words themselves fill us with hope. This verse shows us the heart of God toward humanity. We don't know all the plans that God has for our future, but we trust in Him that He will strengthen us every day. Amen. That's a promise. And remember, we already said He's not ever failed in a promise. Can't find one. The fifth one is, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. When you first enter into marriage, the last thing you're ever thinking about is divorce, because you've got it made in the shade. Here we go. But through the years of being together, you're going to have some hardship times, some trials that may threaten your relationship. And if this is ever the case, you've got to allow God's word and promises to come into play. This is how you knock it out of the park. You've been joined together under God, so don't ever let anyone or anything separate you and your love for each other. Promise number five. There's plenty more, but it's a kickstart. All right, third key. Victory through more patience. This is the one nobody likes, but anyway. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Amen. I posted a tweet last week that said this, right here. You know, one of the things the Bible says you need is patience. You need it. You must have it to do well in your life and marriage, so get some. You got to get some patience. You got to be patient. Get it quick. Now listen, according to what the Scripture says back there in Hebrews 10, according to what that Scripture says, the reason that you need the patience is because it is what ultimately brings the promise to pass. Take the patience out of the equation, and you may not see the promise come to pass. And we want the promise to come to pass. But are we willing to exercise the patience to get there? Patience. The third key is patience. You can have victory through more patience. You have need of patience. What do I need, Tony? What do I need? You need patience. I know you need more money. I know you need another car. I know you need a house. I know that. But those come through promise, and the promise comes through patience. The fourth key tonight, see, you're listening fast, so we're moving fast. This is all right. Fourth key is victory through more peace. 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 Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You need to be kept. And it's the peace of God that will do it. Some Christians fail to be victorious in their life and in their marriages because they lack God's peace. Now, it doesn't mean he wasn't given it. It just means you're not receiving it. Peace in their hearts. Peace in their homes. They live with fear and doubt rather than with faith and confidence. We must, at all costs, believe God and His Word more than the circumstances that we see in front of us. We must. Ephesians 2:14 says this, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both groups into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall." This was talking about back in the time when the Jew and the Gentile, he was referring to this. And I want to tell you, that's what he's talking about, broke up, made both groups. That was the Jew and the Gentile. If he can break down the barrier wall between a whole people group of Jews and Gentiles, then I'm telling you, he can help you in your marriage. You can receive the peace of God. If we are to be more victorious in our marriages, we must partake of God's peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27, "You believe in God, believe also in me." It goes on to say, we must simply accept the peace that He is constantly offering. Amen. You need the peace of God in your home. One of the highest compliments I think we've ever gotten, Miriam and I together, is when people come to our house and when they leave, they say something like, "It's just peaceful here." That's one of the highest compliments I think we could ever... Not that it was, you know, "Oh, we can see the vacuum lines all nice and neat in the carpet," or "Not, boy, your bricks are all in place," or "Not, you know, boy, the place is painted just perfect." Those things are neat, but when somebody says, "It's just so peaceful here," that means more than all of it. Amen. The fifth key tonight, this is a good one. Oh, this is a good one. It's so good. Victory through more praise. Praise. You don't hear that word rolling off the lips of a lot of Christians these days. But praise. Praise. Psalm 71:14 says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more." You know, we ought to be praising Him more and more, not less and less, not every once in a while, not when just when I think about it. We ought to be praising Him more and more. That means that tomorrow about this time, it ought to be even more. And the next day, it ought to be even more. We should be praising God. Many Christians, I believe, are just remiss when it comes to just simply praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. They've got long faces all the time. They have nothing but negative attitudes. And they lack victory in their life and marriage. And it's obvious that they do because you can see it. If we are to stay victorious in our marriages, we must praise the Lord more. Again, I want to make sure that you understand what I said to start with. I'm not saying that these are the things you have to do to get God to like you more or to do something special for you or any of that. That is not the case. These are things that when you do them, they benefit you because He set it up that way that if you would, it would. So you stand to benefit. The psalmist David said, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God while I have any being." That is Psalm 146:2. "I will praise the Lord and sing praises unto my God while I have any being." That means if you've got anything left in you, you can praise God. You can praise God. I guarantee you right now, as pastor's in that hospital bed right now, maybe not feeling 100%, I guarantee you, because it's just like it was the other day and the day before that, he was praising God. You can praise God. Your marriage needs you to praise the Lord more. Your spouse gets a better you if you praise the Lord more. And you get a better spouse if they praise the Lord more. David also said this in Psalm 34:1. You know this. "I will bless the Lord at all times." All times. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." All times. Only when things are going good and the checkbook balance is high? No, it's at all times. What about when it's low? Well, it's tax season, Brother Tony. Don't you know it's tax? Praise the Lord at all times. But you don't understand. I had a malfunction in my car. Now I've got to get a new gizmo put on. Praise the Lord at all times. More and more I'm going to praise you. More and more. Now, why all this praise? Because sometimes, now, if you're honest with me, if you're honest, some of you will be, some of you I know won't. No. If you're honest with me, you don't always feel like praising the Lord. When that tire pops, and it was the big one on the truck that's the, you know, it's like, what is it, 18 grand or whatever it is per tire or something now, Billy? When that tire goes and you immediately see the dollar signs and you don't feel like praising the Lord. When you just had that little confrontation and things just rubbed the wrong way, it doesn't feel like a great time to praise the Lord. Yet, I have a few things that praise does for your marriage. What does praise do? What does praise do? Number one, well, y'all are doing so good. You've got your worksheets and you're just filling them in. Praise, here's number one. Praise changes the spiritual climate. when you're in a bad mood, just begin praising God. You'll be amazed at how the atmosphere will change. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they praised God until an earthquake freed them. So one moment, it was terrible. Then there was praise. Then it was wonderful. Well, that's the model right there. When it's terrible, bring some praise, and then it'll be wonderful. You need to praise the Lord more. You need praise. Number two, praise fulfills your primary purpose as a created being. This is heavy, but it's true. After Jesus performed miracles, the crowd began praising God. The Pharisees wanted to rebuke them, but Jesus said, "If these people become silent, the stones will cry out." It is essential for creation to praise its creator. We must praise the Lord. It's your purpose. If you did nothing else and you didn't fulfill the thing or get the job or do the deal, if you spent your life praising and bringing glory and honor to God, you would fulfill your primary purpose as a created being. Isn't that powerful? We need praise. Number three, praise restores your understanding to the right order. When things go wrong, the things seem to take control. The broken water heater, that flat tire that we're talking about, the late bill, the argument, whatever it might be, those things seem to get the upper hand. They become the thing that you're obsessed with. But in reality, God is still on the throne. And nothing has changed. Praise puts things in the right perspective. The flat tire and the argument and the thing that won't work and the thing that went wrong and the lawsuit and the lack of money here and all of those things, they try to get the best of you. And worse yet, they try to wedge between you to create that separation. But praise eliminates that and restores things to the order that it should be. And number four right here, what does praise do? Praise shatters your pride. We tend to think of ourselves sometimes much more highly than we ought to. But praise humbles us. Hebrews 13:15 calls it a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice always costs you something, but it helps you put God first. It will shatter your pride. And you know what? Our pride needs to be shattered. We're not above God, and those situations are not above us or God. We need, all this falls under that fifth point. We get victory through more praise. The point is, you need to praise the Lord. You need to praise Him more and more, not less and less. We need to praise the Lord. So, we have prayer, promises, patience, peace, and praise. I like that. We need this. You need every one of those. I need every one of those. You can just take that to the bank. Amen. Did you get something out of those scriptures? Amen. Good, because I've got some homework for you. You know, you can always take any of the previous homeworks that I've given you and just do them again. You don't have to wait on me to give you more. So for homework, number one, purpose to find time to pray. Find some time to pray. Now, I don't just get hours every day to just walk around here in the fellowship hall with a little candle lit over on the... I don't get that. These messages and things that come through prayer and spending time with God typically don't happen because I had endless hours of just alone time with the Lord to just, I get most of my praying done in the car. I like to drive and pray at night. You've heard me tell that story. I like any time like that I can get, and kind of like Pastor Bob and Kenneth Copeland, we saw that earlier, it's a lifestyle. So I'm not waiting to begin to pray until I know I've got a 1 hour clear swath of time. Pray all the time, here or there or anywhere. Pray any time that you've got any time. Squeeze some prayer in there. Find some time to pray. If we were to take a survey right now, I know that every one of you could probably tell me, Brother Tony, I know I need to pray more. Not because God will love me more. I need what happens to me when I pray more. I bet every one of you could tell me, I need to pray more. And you know that you do. But it's like there's never the right time. And it just seems to take too much time. Or where do I put it in there? How do I get that time? You get it all through your life because your life represents that. It's not, and remember, it's a lifestyle, not an event. So you get that when you can. Number two, find three promises on your own. Now, I started you. We had the Kickstart program here tonight. And I kickstarted you with five promises. But you need to go find some more promises all by yourself. That means you and your Bible and Jesus. Find some promises on your own. It will mean more to you when you find it for you. Because when you find it, you will know that God reserved it for you. It's reserved for you. I've heard someone say that the promises of God are not hidden from you, they're hidden for you. It's up to you to dig it out like you'd dig a chunk of gold out of the hillside. When you find that gold nugget, it's, you've got it. But you know, you need to do that on your own. You need to do that and not just Google it. You know, the bad thing about Google and scriptures is that it keeps you from opening your own Bible. Have a Bible and open it and read it with pages. Yeah, they still have them. They have some over here, actually. It's got a front and a back. And I use electronic media, too. I mean, I've got Bibles galore on my laptop and my iPad and my phone and all those things. But it doesn't replace having a Bible and looking at the promises of God yourself, for yourself. For yourself. You dig it out. You dig it out. Amen. Number three here. Find some reasons to praise God. What are the reasons, Tony? What are the reasons? Find some reasons. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. List them out. Hey, if you have to take a legal pad or a notepad on your phone or whatever it is, start listing out some things that you could praise God for. And since this is marriage class, we could probably put spouse right up there toward the top of that list. My spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, the fact that I have a house to live in and a car to drive and I had something to eat tonight. And you could go down that list, but then you could get even more specific. You could start praising God that He's never failed you. You could start praising God that He's always come through for you, that He's always had an answer for you. You could praise God for all kinds of things. But find some reasons to praise God and then praise God. You need to praise God. It will help you overcome the junk that you deal with every day. You need to praise God. But I hurt and I've got this pain in my leg or whatever it might be. Praise God your other leg doesn't hurt. Well, praise, you know, when we were going through this time with Matthew and he had the kidney problem and his left kidney wasn't working right and we were going to end up having it surgically removed and all this stuff, I got a promise from God. And when it's your kid and you're facing surgery and they're taking an organ out of his body it gets real, real, real fast, you know. And I was driving down the road, and the Lord just reminded me of that time that Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And Jesus asked him to stand up and told him to stretch out his hand. And when he did, the Bible says it was restored whole as the other. Now, the words that just leaped out at me were whole as the other. Because in my mind, one bad kidney, one good kidney. Here's a guy with one good hand, one withered hand. And to me, that was my promise that I'm to this day am standing on. I say over my son Matthew as I watch him play basketball over here, and you know, it hasn't like drastically hindered his life where he can't function, but I want that other kidney. So I say over him, his left kidney, the one they took out, will be restored whole as the other. That's a promise. I have a promise, and I'm standing on it, and I don't care who believes it or doesn't believe it or who will stand with me or not. It doesn't matter. It's my promise. And I will see his kidney, the one they took out, restored whole as the other. That's a promise. Amen. So I praise God for that. So when I think about it, and I'm driving down the road, sometimes when I'm by myself, I just say, praise God. Praise God. My son's kidney is being restored whole as the other. Praise God. I'm debt-free and mortgage-free, and I have multiple streams of residual income. Praise God. Everything I have for is paid. Praise God. I'll always, always have enough money to pay every bill that comes into my house. Praise God. All of my kids are protected and kept safe everywhere they go. Praise God, my wife is so good looking, it's hard to stand it. Praise God. Praise God, my kids look like her.
Amen.
Amen. I got an amen from John. So you can find some reasons to praise God. Amen. You ought to. That's your homework. All right. All right. Did you get something out of that? Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's stand up and just praise God if you can. I'm going to just pray for you right now, all the married couples. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you for every couple here tonight, Lord. Thank you for these marriages. Lord, I just speak the blessings of God over these marriages, and I thank God that they're doing as good as they are right now, and I thank you that they're going to be doing better every single day from this day forward. I just speak the strength of God, the peace of God, the protection of God over every marriage here in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that great, great, great things are coming for them. I thank you, Lord, that they have the finances they need to do all of the things that you've put in their heart to do. All of the things. Now listen, nobody resists me on that. Nobody resists me on that. All of the things that God's put in your heart to do, all of them, don't sell yourself short. God, I thank you that the money is going to be there for every person to do the things that you've put in their heart to do. If that means travel and go in places, that you will help them. If it means building something, you will help them. If it means buying something, you will help them. If it means starting something, you will help them. If it means finishing something, you will help them. In Jesus' name, several of you have books that you need to finish. The body of Christ and the secular world is waiting on your book, and you need to finish your book. You need it. You need to do it. I'm just telling you, I'm prophesying that right now. You need to finish the book. Finish it. Some of you need to finish building something that God put in your heart to build. The body of Christ and sinners both are waiting on that thing to be built. They need it. You need to obey God and step out and do something that God's put in your heart to do. Amen. Lord, I just thank you. Every one of them, I just seal them by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. They're all going to do great, great, great things for God in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen.